Communications and Technology Committee, March 5th. Item one, call to order. Comments from the public. Yes, sir.
I've noticed how promptly audio recordings are being loaded to the website. I'd like to give two thumbs up on that, and the fact that committee meetings are also on there, so another two thumbs up for that.
Great. Hey, can I ask you a question while you're there? Did you guys ever work out a road maintenance agreement?
As far as I know, it's still up in the air.
Okay.
It's
not an item, but I was just curious if they ever did that.
Yeah, they're not very open and transparent. It seems to me that it's up in the air.
Okay.
There is a maintenance agreement from way back in.
Oh, I know there's an old one, but he doesn't seem like the terms of that.
Yeah. Other than that, I think it's just up in the air.
Okay. Monthly website and social media update.
Do you want to report that?
So you have, monthly we provide the update on our website analytics, and so you see on second page of the packet, you can see where where the most hits were basically based on our website. I was very happy last night. I had one of the LAFCO commissioners come up to me who is a former captain with Sac Metro, and she asked me if we could post information on the CERT training on behalf of...
On the what?
CERT training, which is emergency preparedness training.
Okay.
I was very happy. I said, hold on a sec. I pulled up my phone and showed her our website, which already is advertising that. She was very, very pleased to see that.
Good.
So that was good. That was a good thing. So how to pay my bill. You see the committee meetings and phone numbers for contact, salary schedules, and employment opportunities. So we have been posting quite a few positions that have typically not been open recently. So that's one reason why you probably see the employment opportunities hit the most, basically, under those data. And then, do we have a Facebook one?
The next page is Facebook.
Is that?
There we go. That's Facebook.
Okay, that one right there. Mm-hmm. I'm seeing you in different. Huh.
And Facebook, I did it for 28 days. That's how long it lets me report for.
So we have... that's something that we've posted just recently. We posted a communication on Facebook on the issue with the rodents at the dams and the traps that we have out there and the purpose for those, so that's been communicated. Do we have that on our main website yet? Okay, so the same discussion on that is on our main website.
I have the notice if you want to pass it around.
Sure.
Yeah, I want to see that.
We should provide copies for the public, too. For...
Can you, I was going to say... Can you,
morning. I'll deliver to the
public. Hi, sorry guys. But actually my phone says 8:30, but I thought all cell phones were just sort of automatic.
They should be.
Yeah.
That is odd.
You have to set it to that.
And of course there's always the issue with the car keys.
So that's just an overview of the stats right now, and we're always as usual constantly trying to figure out how to improve our website and provide information within the framework that the website provider allows us.
So can I, Paul, on this, and I've picked up on some of this on social media and all the comments about the poison and the food chain and all this other stuff. Can we use the pipeline or something to actually communicate
why we have to do this?
Why we have to do it?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Absolutely.
I don't think it pleases anybody, but
So we have the write-up right here.
I don't think a massive flow of water downstream would please anybody either.
So do you want me to elaborate more than this write-up, John, on
What is
the
it,
pipeline?
I know rodent, it says like rodent control. Well, what is it we use and what is the real impact of it? And,
So we use a pesticide company, like a pesticide application company that they get a recommendation, they go out and do a site visit with me on site, they review the site, say what products should they use that are within California state regulations. There used to be like a one bite type of thing that existed years and years ago that no longer exists. They have to like multiple feed products, and then they put them in these containers that they gather the stuff into their cheeks, from what I'm told, and then they go back to their burrow, stockpile it there, and then when they want to eat, they feed on it and then die in their burrow for the most part. And that's the way that system's designed to prevent, other critters,
the birds coming down,
from eating it.
Yeah.
You know, so, and you know, this being the state of California, this is where the, you know, tightest regulations probably earth exist for this type of stuff. So they're within all those regulations, and you know, I'm not.
What do they call
I defer to them, and that's why we have a contract with them to do this type of work.
So. Mm-hmm. But they don't call it that. There's another term.
But I'd like to get as much of that communicated as we can.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I tried to make it concise with the help of Amelia putting this together. You know, just keep it simple, because you start getting into like the science of all this stuff.
Yeah, no, I get that.
People's
so we'll review
back.
This and
their eyes roll back
and see if there's anywhere where we can expand a little bit to just make it a little bit more clear. And there's quite a bit of information what's there right now. I think very concise. It was well done.
And then I can update the website with more information and Facebook with more information. But the pipeline comes out on with the bill. So
that's fine.
There's the timeliness. I mean, it'll be on the front page of the pipeline.
No, it's fine. If it's just one more place we can communicate it.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am.
I have it on good authority that the River Valley Times will have an article in the next issue. And with really great quotes from Paul.
Okay.
Can you divulge who your source is?
Yeah, I am completely transparent.
It could be any one of your massive stream of reporters.
Staff, right?
Yeah. Okay. No, that's great. If we can, you know, be responsive on stuff like this, I think it's good. There's other parts of this we can get into on our.
If I could just jump in with a comment too. So we put that information out there in response, but it was only through, you know, Jeff's digging around, you know, to find that there was some posts out there on this that we knew it happened. The odd thing is, you know, and it tends to happen a lot in this community, that no one comes to us for asking a question or that information.
Right.
So there's a lot of hearsay and conjecture until, you know, why not ask?
There's probably something we should do in there, and I don't know what the venue is, whether it's social media or not, where we make that kind of response.
We have actually in the pipeline within the last 3 months. I wrote an article about, you know, the horse's mouth.
I mean, it just as an illustration, you know, my whole life is the Scott Road. So
right now
for another week, and there was a string of 66 posts on the general conditions, rightly so, rightly deserved, the whole bunch of stuff. But there were 66 of them, and I checked down at the county, and there had been one call down there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they went out in 2 days and filled 50 potholes in 2 days. And they filled it because they got it off social media. But nobody thought
to call
the county.
Mm-hmm.
We have the same thing here. I mean, we have stuff fly around the universe here that we are the principal source of the complaint. And we are the last one to get it, you know. So maybe there's some education there, you know. We'd love to help. Call us.
Yeah, and we have, and we'll continue to, you know, put reminders like that.
What source of media had 66 posts on it?
The community, one of the Facebook community boards. There's two. There's Thrive, and there's the other one. It was the other one. That's where the rodent stuff is as well.
Yeah,
it's up there. So, I mean, trolling through there once in a while probably is a good idea.
Yeah, and we just have to be careful about spending a lot of time on responding and monitoring streams of consciousness.
Yeah, no, and what a lot of that no, I and get so. It.
Or rewarding yeah, streams of consciousness.
I get it, but and I get that we're a governmental agency, but if you're a business, you want to know
we,
what the world
and we
is,
have.
You want to know what the world is saying.
We have
about
in the
you.
Past, and then some yeah. of these are also closed groups, and right. we had belonged, and then the moderators of those groups had actually acted to shut us, mm-hmm. we believe, to remove us from those groups.
Most of those comments are in those closed groups, so unless somebody forwards them to us, we can't see them.
Okay.
We'll have access to it.
Okay.
So just as a dynamic there, we want to know what, you know, have a finger on the pulse of the community.
I would want to know from, well, first of all, I know that's probably not the case on Nextdoor because there's all kinds of public agencies posting on Nextdoor. Mm-hmm. Although I know we have issues with where we are located. But I'll ask the question in some of those social groups here. Just ask the question. I know the moderators and most of them. What's your position on contributions from a public agency or an association?
Yeah. And these groups grow every day. There's any number of groups that may come and go and that sort of thing. So,
this is now.
We can monitor. Yeah. And we'll monitor it to the extent we can.
Right, and I don't recommend that we get into a posting war. Yeah. But I think it's important we understand what's up there.
Yep. These are the facts.
Like eagles eating rodents that have eaten rat poison. You probably want to know that's out there.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
I like something you just said. We would love your help. I think that's something that will help to communicate. I mean, I realize that, but on the other hand,
if I'm going to call you, I say, well, maybe I'm bothering you. I'm busy with stuff. The way you put it, we would love to help, kind of communicate that. It kind of puts us at a little more ease. Mm-hmm. And say, hey, maybe I will give them a call.
As long as that's not a lie. As long as we want help.
But who knows?
If I'm in a situation like that,
my inclination is to go up to that group, put out my thoughts and whatever.
I
don't think there's anything wrong with that.
But no, I think... Like you say, I think we want to project, hey, if you have a problem, if you see something, if there's water running down the street, or I don't think the pressure's right, or something, that we are probably intimately more qualified to answer that question than social media. So,
And I like the way you... Put it, sitting there. I think that's pretty good.
Yeah,
with a smile.
I don't know a lot about water, but I can sell stuff.
So where we can, we will. Monitor.
And we're doing. Yeah. I think I too have. I think the website is really good, and I think there's a lot more information on the website than ever before. I like all the committee stuff being up there, including the dates and the times and the meetings themselves, where we kind of used to slough off a lot of committee stuff. And I would like, ultimately, to use that to start to maybe encourage more public involvement, other than Richard, in the committee process.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I mean, you can learn a lot at these committee meetings if you're really interested.
That's right.
A lot of the answers are here versus
a statement
at the regular board
open
meeting.
To the public.
Okay.
Any more on that social media stuff? Item 4, referring to lakes as reservoirs and educating the community about the ultimate use of the water in the reservoirs.
This is the last one. It's the last one.
Okay.
I made it myself.
Here.
Don't write this down. It's the reservoir, stupid. it's your drinking water. So there's a project that is in the works and significantly in the works because just for example, Solos raised over $6,000 to replace the informative signs at the Calero Reservoir. And I went back through that to ensure that at any place where the word Calero appears, the word lake will not appear.
Mm-hmm.
It will, the word will be reservoir. And one of the things, I had an idea that we could, they're really sophisticated, well-built signs that will replace what the scouts put up years ago. And we could add a sign into that blends in with it, that tells the story of Lake Calero and the Calero Reservoir.
Mm-hmm.
And or we could start thinking about a way to build our own sign that we could work in conjunction with RMA to put it on their property.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important that, and especially with the traffic at that lake, that reservoir, it's going to take forever. That where people come in and park at the top, because that's where they start their walk or push mm-hmm. the kids around in the carts or ride bikes or whatever they do. That we start to reinforce, you know, when you're looking at the sign and maybe, I don't know, and there's an arrow that says, hey, that's your drinking water.
Mm-hmm.
Or where's this water going from here?
Mm-hmm.
Or, you know, the journey this water took to get here and where it's going from here. So we're building this awareness, and you know, part of that sign is maybe more than informative, like this is not where your golden retriever gets his swimming lessons.
Mm-hmm.
And this is not where a good place to not clean up after your dog. And Paul talks about, you know, we're talking about all this rodent control we're doing on the dam, and we got all these giant trucks running. I don't know whether that's good, bad, or indifferent, but we put a tremendous amount of wear and tear on that dam, and it's a continuing source of potholes and all this stuff. Well, maybe that's not such a good idea. You know, I don't want to start this firestorm about driving around it, but there's a lot of education that I think we need to do about those assets or resources. And I haven't got it completely sifted out of my head yet, but I think a sign up there would be a good idea.
There's places you could
position it too up there, where you could see two reservoirs at one time. You can see down to Calero and out to, or down to Chesboro and out to.
Now, is that RMA's property or Sullivan's?
That piece up top there may be Sullivan's. I don't know exactly.
Which piece?
The piece on Calero when you drive in and there's a big hill in front of you.
That's Rancho. The roadways are RMA, uh-huh. And then the lakes are RMA, but we have the easement for operation and maintenance.
Right. You have a secondary easement through
for the reservoirs.
Yeah. But there's a place. I mean, and I know, I think John actually did, I could be wrong on this, but where they built the kiosk for the trail stewards, you know, where the
sign?
Trail map is, mm-hmm. I think John actually created some kind of an easement for that little tiny piece of property.
I think a good source for the a format or a template for the sign would be other utilities that manage recreational lakes for water use,
mm-hmm.
You know, water processing use and service. And they may have good examples already.
Right.
I'm thinking of like Union Valley Reservoir and, you know, even EID. Sly Park and others that EID, I bet you EID has some good examples, perhaps.
Just for fun. I just went through the heading reservoirs and lakes online, and there's just a plethora of information, as you must know, Paul. But this one was pretty clear, and it talked about the difference between a reservoir and a lake, and they are definitely reservoirs,
yep.
Named lakes.
Mm-hmm.
And around both Calero, and I think there's one up around, I mean, one Chesboro and maybe one at Calero about what you can and can't do in that lake. You can't swim in that lake. You can't, you're not supposed to take your dog.
It's in our water
lake.
Code, yeah.
Yeah, and the sign is right there. Mm-hmm. But people ignore it. And I think that the subject of what you can and can't do in those lakes can be a topic that we need to revisit on a regular occasion, because there may be a point that comes where there is no fishing in that lake. It's my personal opinion, you know, that if people can't contain themselves and can't use those lakes the way, or not use them, basically, the way that they're supposed to, then things have to get stricter. And, you know, I hope that it doesn't come to that, but I know I've heard you say, Paul, that there are things that happen in that lake that shouldn't happen. And we just had that experience with the trying to fix the
aerators,
right. And mm-hmm. the stuff that you found, the anchor and all the rest of it, that it's just not good. And I think it's kind of abusive, actually, on the part of the community.
But the you know, I think there's, when you look at it too, when I'm you know, in my head, if we're going to create some kind of information out there, and that being through the sign,
mm-hmm.
I'd like to try and do it. You know, we can do, and I'm sure there's other places that are doing it. You know, we can put a sign up with the big word no, and then 14 things
right next
to it that you can't do. That's not kind of where, you know, I'd like to go with it. I'd like to really, you know, make it, hey,
understandable,
dude. You know, this is
right.
You know, this is your drinking water,
yeah.
And it was a painful and expensive process to get it here, and its journey isn't over, because ultimately it's winding up in your washing machine or your
shower
or your faucet. So, you know, I know that's just as a start. You know,
mm-hmm.
where kind of we could start thinking about where we want to go with it, and then, you know, build a campaign around that, not just the sign, but
right.
build an information
right.
campaign around that. So
I think that's great. I like that.
All right. Okay.
Okay.
Beat that one to death. Water.
It seems that we have to.
Water conservation outreach.
So. One of the things we're going to be working on is where we're at as far as water supply and storage, and right now we're doing very well. Oddly enough, as dry and as warm as this February has been, we've been able to keep on track for filling our reservoirs. The big thing is once we get to April 15th, when we're allowed to put the stop logs back in the reservoir, how much river flow is going to be available at
right.
that point to allow us to continue to pump. So there's various points within our water right that if we have not diverted certain amounts by certain dates, we're able to increase our diversion amount rates to the maximum, which is 45 CFS, as long as the river is over 70 CFS.
Right.
And so, like as you hit March 1st and you haven't diverted 2,000 acre feet, you're allowed to go up to that high rate. So, that's one of the things we're going to be keeping an eye on. If in this season we need to turn on a 500 horsepower pump, as I conveyed in my yearly update to the board, we may need to do that, hopefully not, and then if we need to implement our conservation program. So we have a drought contingency program that was developed several years back, and there's various stages, and it's following the general guidelines of what every other district does in California. Just depending on what your stage is what your district decided to do at those levels. And so maybe by next board meeting, I'll probably have a little more information together on it. But the drought outlook is saying that drought's likely to increase, that we're just at the very low stage of a potential drought of where we're at right now. Everybody knows the snowpack's far less than what has been seen in the past. That's less significant to our district as it is to the rest of the state, where that snowpack functions as a reservoir for the state. As long as the Cosumnes maintains a flow and we're able to divert, that's what we look at. And even if we don't top off to the maximum extent, we still have quite a bit of storage in our reservoir. So it just depends if you have multiple years in a row. That's where it really, really affects you.
There's a lot. You can hear the chatter now in the general media. There's starting to be a lot more concern, and I'm sure we'll get a lot more questions at some point.
Yeah. Everybody's hoping for a miracle march, is what they typically call it. So.
Next item, water meter replacement notification.
So one of the things that was discussed was, what does the district do as it relates to notifying homeowners for water meter replacement notifications? I apologize, I didn't print out my meter replacement standard procedure. But within that meter reading standard procedure that we have, that I had developed, there's a small section of what we do for notifications. And so typically what's done is we'll knock on a door as we're doing this. So we'll get a list that says we have these meters to replace. Staff will go on out. They'll knock on a door, typically after 8:30 a.m., so it allows people to do whatever they're going to do in the morning and sleep in. And if no one responds, then we assume no one's home. Maybe they're at work. We go do the meter change out. If somebody responds, we say, we're going to be doing meter change out. Your water's going to be out for 5 minutes and then back on. And typically works that way. If it's a commercial site and no one's available, then we'll tag, and then I'll get notified, and we'll try to contact them via email or some other means, via phone call, and try to coordinate that. And that hasn't been a problem in the past either. Occasionally we run into an incident, very, very, very rarely, that you knock on a door and somebody just refuses to answer because they don't like answering doors, or they can't hear it. So.
Or worst case, they're in the shower.
But in the 13 years I've been here, I think that's happened twice.
Yeah.
It's pretty, pretty rare. So we do endeavor to do what we can to notify people. And swapping out a meter is very simple. It's shutting some valves and then going in. And unless there's redwood trees and stuff growing all over the place, and then they have to spend a day or so digging to get access to that point. So.
Okay. It was my issue a while ago. This is great what you put in the pipeline about what the meter situation is. I don't think it's enough to knock on the door the day that you're doing it. I think you need to send a letter out the month that you're doing it and tell the people who are doing it that you're going to be at their house, why you're at their house. Mm-hmm. A little bitter piece of this. I think it's great that you put the code in there that says you can't obstruct, from the meter box, and ask them to let you know if they have a problem. And you don't have to put a date down or, anything like that, but during the month of April, we will be visiting your home to exchange the meter out, and so on and so forth. Yes.
So most of the meters are being replaced because they're broken. And when they break, they don't record water use. So when we read the meters, we let Paul know that the meters aren't reading, and their team goes out to verify what's going on. If they see a broken meter, they replace it. If we have a schedule for old meters that we're going to replace, I could see that being really something that's feasible. But if we wait till we have to send a letter, we can see 3 or 4 days go by that gives a resident.
Well, then would that be considered an emergency situation, and you could make a phone call, or?
I don't see a problem with making phone calls and stuff. But if we're going to send a letter to somebody, and then they're going to call us back and say, I don't know if I want this to happen. How about next month? So my concern is, it's just a revenue producer. If the meter's broken and people are getting 6 or 8 ticks a month or a day and it stops, that's the issue.
Would you know that? Would you know if the meter stopped?
We know when we do the reads each month. That's only when we know.
Okay,
so it could have broke on the 26th and we don't find out. till the 25th of the next month.
Okay. So at that point, then you call them on the phone and you say, you know, your meter's broken and we're going to have to come out and replace it.
I think that would be, that we could do that.
But if you have a schedule for replacing old meters that you don't know are broken, I just think it's not only a courtesy, but I think it gives us better, what do you call that, a better face on the community. Or a face on the community.
We can send the letter.
If your staff wants to make calls.
Yeah, we'll do that.
That would be great.
We'll do that. We'll work with Paul's staff. We'll have our front office staff either reach out with a phone call. If there's if nobody picks up, we'll drop a letter.
Okay.
For the schedule, for the ones that we know are being scheduled to be replaced.
Right,
if we're sending those guys out because the meter's broken, they need to fix it on the spot.
Okay.
So there's the old meters.
Right.
That we want to replace.
Replace, right, and then there's meters that are broken.
And so the broken ones we need to replace.
Absolutely.
Okay, we can do that. We'll work together on that.
Okay.
Does that mean
that makes me happy?
Okay.
Do they get so then at that point in your scenario where you get like 29 days where their meter's broken, we do an adjustment, right?
We do the best we can to make an estimate of what the charges would have been.
Okay. So, do they get communication on that before they get a bill?
I believe we list that we did an estimate on their monthly bill.
Yeah.
Since we've taken over doing the billing on short notice, we have not done estimates each month. But what we have done is we've done a very aggressive approach of replacing the meters that aren't reading, and so we've gone from having dozens and dozens of meters that weren't getting activity to just having a few each month.
Okay.
And again, you're hearing it at the board meeting every month. We're doing very few lockoffs anymore.
Right.
And that's the phone calls you're asking us to make. We're doing those phone calls. And we're getting people like, oh, I forgot, or my whole family's sick. Let me run the check over now.
Yeah.
And so zero lockoffs last month and two the month before, zero the month before. So and the zero reads, which are the ones that aren't chugging along, you know, we're in our notes in the system saying this home is not occupied, this home is on the market, you know, and
that's all helpful information.
A lot of people have zero reads because they don't have anything going on that month. Like if you're in the village, you know, a couple showers, you know, a shower or two is not going to make your meter do a click. So a lot of those homes, a lot of the village homes don't even get a. Don't even spend 755 gallons of water each month. So, you know, we're communicating a lot with Paul's staff, and the lists are getting shorter that require him to go out and do things.
That's great.
And that's why you're seeing the zero reads and stuff like that.
Can we put that someplace? Do we have a...
I put the meter replacements in my board report under utilities.
Okay.
So it's how many meters and MXUs we swap out each month.
Okay.
And then I put that statistic in my annual report for how much we replace each year.
But the process also, I mean, this is a new little process that we've just created here.
Not really. Well, yeah.
Okay, if I wanted to find it somewhere, where could I look it up?
Doing the outreach to call people when they haven't paid their bills, that's not documented. That's just general customer service. So, I'm not sure what you're looking for here. You want us to write a...
When somebody wants to know what the situation, how this works 4 years from now, where are they going to find that? Is it in writing anywhere?
Let me get back to you.
Okay. If there's a place where, you know...
There's probably something out there. I just...
Yeah.
I'll look for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Great, thanks.
Communicating to the public about development proposals related to core functions of CSD.
Yep, so this is something we've had as a discussion item for quite a while, and it's it's a matter of, you know, there's always that timing issue that we've discussed before when items are draft versus ready for a discretionary action by either if it was something that the district does have discretionary action, meaning that the board would have some type of vote on something versus something that's ministerial, which is administrative on the staff's part. So in related to development of, you know, the shopping center, of new residential developments, typically if there's a discretionary action where there's a decision made, at that point it is either a planning commission at the county or county board of supervisors discretionary action at that point. The request that has been made is to try to communicate to the extent we can where, you know, the status of various developments and such. And so we are, our side of that is the water, sewer, and drainage is what we review plans for. And so in the monthly improvements committee, Paul updates on that. The request that has been made is to be a little bit more detailed as to the context of what's being discussed each month. So in the improvements committee agenda, we provide a very brief snippet of where exactly something is. I think the request, and this is Director Butler, is to have a little bit more discussion of this is the larger development that's occurring, started here, you know, at this date. It encompasses commercial, maybe like a paragraph or two that kind of gives a summary of of what the overall context is for these little snippets that we provide each month for the improvements committee.
The planning department website does something similar to that. When you go to the planning, when you go to the homepage of their website, up at the top there is a header of links, and one of their links they identify as major development projects, and inside of that one, for example, is Rancho North, and they give you they don't give you any updated status, and they haven't for the last 2 years because there hadn't been any, but it is all there. So there is, you know, and I'm not saying we go that route. You might want to have, as part of your report, a two-minute exercise on that's dedicated specifically to updates of individual, you know, what we've done this month on each, and now we have three, right? Potentially three. We have Riverview, and we have
Residencies, and North.
But I don't know whether he's official or not. But and we have Rancho North, and inside Rancho North we have commercial and residential. You might give a two-minute synopsis of what, if anything, has transpired, and in a lot of cases it might be nothing happened this month.
Yeah, and that we do from a from the utility standpoint, I think what would be good is to provide a synopsis before each of those topics or as part of each of those developments, just a summary of what the entitlement is, you know, or what the project is.
Yeah.
And then details on what we've accomplished in the last month related to our function, and then we could, to the extent we know anything, a general progress of the project.
Perfect.
Discussion, something
Perfect.
Like that. And that makes sense, Paul?
It could be.
What we're discussing? Because so this would be within the improvements discussion.
I would have to get the county's entitlement information and then summarize that?
It would be a one-time effort, just like, here's the project. So if you go to Rancho North, it'll talk about so many homes, your residential homes, and
like,
that sort of
like
thing.
Like John was saying, isn't that on the county's website?
It is.
It is. The request is just to put it within the text of updates.
Okay.
Under the development side of improvement.
An alternative or adjunct to that could also be as information through the website or someplace. Hey, dudes, you want to know more about development in Rancho Murrieta, and then give them the link. Now that won't tell you the smaller projects. I mean, you can get those, you know, once you learn how to navigate the planning website, but you can get the initial hit on Rancho North, for example. It's there. Mm-hmm. And it gives you what Paul was just describing. It gives you that little synopsis of the 795 homes and commercial and blah blah blah. It's there.
Can I make a
just a thought, do we want to put projects on our website and then just link it to the county?
That's an option. That's something
yeah,
that
look
John
at that.
Is
that's,
speaking to.
That's a great idea.
It's probably better for us to link to the county because that changes
absolutely.
Over time.
Right, and they're getting.
Anybody knows they would.
They're getting.
They're going to be the quarterback, like you were saying, mm-hmm. now for the projects going through the process.
It's the definitive story. I mean, it's the real deal.
Yeah, it's the latest because they're going to post whatever the latest is on the project, and we may not even be made aware of some of the.
Right, and the other part of that is, and that really, I mean, you know, that's good information we can provide, but each of these developers has an inherent responsibility for public outreach. Okay, and in this particular case with a major project, there has been like zero. Okay, I mean, we had it years ago at CPEC, and we had, you know, stakeholders meetings 4 years ago. But there's no systematic effort for them to tell their own story, and if they don't want to do that, that's up to them. But when we went through this process on the very same land with the last group of developers, they showed up here once a week, whether there was 2 people or 5 people or 10 people, and answered whatever questions people had. And that was, you know, you may not agree with what they were telling you, but they were here to do it. So there's, you know, that's contributing as much to the problem as anything else, is that there is no public outreach on their part. So that is what it is. So.
This was something I'd asked for a long time ago, and I don't intend to make it complicated. It doesn't have to be, you know, it can't be, you know, things that are in progress that's way too much. It's beyond what we're supposed to be doing. But the community sees things happening, and we may have information about it. They're not going to go to the county to find out what's going on. They don't even know that they should be going to the county to find out what's going on. I'd like to see a section in the pipeline. We've had 2 new developers at least in the past few months, year maybe, and that's news to us. We know what's going on, or some of us do, but the community doesn't, because they don't know where to get that stuff from. And so my thought is that we can be a conduit to the community to help them figure out what the heck's going on in here, and do the best that we can to make that information available. It also should include, and it's not our responsibility, but the RMA also has a part in all of this. And I think that they should also contribute to that. I can't make them do it, but I'd like to see RMA, when it comes to something that involves them or is in their purview, that they also have a connection. We work together.
Any more there? Director and staff comments. The only thing I wanted to ask Tom, did we communicate on the fact that when with the individual customers on the billing, when some of them didn't get the e-bill?
Yes, we sent out a second bill that said if you've received this twice, disregard the second one. And in the bill, we put a message that said we had issues with our e-bill this month, then we're sending it a second time.
Right.
So we are working with the vendor to figure out what happened. It's in their programming somewhere, and it's, you know, it's a frustration you have with all technology companies when, as their code matures, sometimes they run into glitches, and you just have to identify them and fix them and communicate.
So that wasn't a result of trying to drive through some individual ISP and some Gmail or
no
Earthlink or whoever the hell it was.
No, we did 3 or 4 different scenarios, and it got stuck each time at a particular point.
Okay.
So I'll try to make it really simple. But basically, when you say print the bills, it goes one at a time to an account, and it creates a PDF file, and that file then gets emailed. So it keeps doing that. And creating PDF files takes just a split second, but it takes, it's more than just all the data goes through just like that, because the PDF has volume to it versus mm-hmm. just a data string.
Right.
And so for some reason, when it got to this particular point in the programming, it stopped. And it did it like three times. And so then we manually, I actually had to do it because I was here to do it, manually had to go type in all the email, all the account numbers and hit send for those 161 accounts. So it'll be fixed by the next billing. You know, almost all the time when these guys find it, the programmers figure out what went wrong and they fix it. So I anticipate this not to be a problem again next month. Mm-hmm. But you're always going to, you know, technology and databases, they just seem to burp every now and then. You just have to pay attention to it. And so, yeah, we communicated as soon as I found out, we dealt with it. In fact, I told you guys that morning that I found out that morning.
Yeah.
So the answer is yes.
Good. All right. I have nothing else.
I just wanted to comment that, like, you know, we're trying to do our best to get out in front of communicating to the residents in the community. You know, as we have our construction alerts that, you know, I'll make up and send to Amelia and Mark for review, post on the website, you know, same thing with, like, the buoy alerts and the dam stuff, you know, with the bait boxes as we become aware of it, if there's anything else that's a concern. So, you know, with everything else we do, we're trying to do the communication and outreach and trying to make it look as, you know, presentable as possible within our capabilities.
Was there, just to follow up on that, was there pushback on the buoy deal?
Not that I've heard from anybody. Okay. We just had fishermen fishing in the areas we've asked them not to fish in, and they've communicated that they were not pleased with that.
Is that the sign language?
Via sign language.
So I saw, and just to clarify that, I saw, you know, where the fence goes down in, are there actually floating buoys?
Not yet. We have the materials to do it. We're 90% of the materials. We're picking the rest up today to install it.
Good.
And then we're going to have a sign like this at the boat ramp.
Fabulous.
And we'll get that on a website, too?
It's already on the website.
Okay.
And Facebook.
And Facebook.
Okay.
That's what I was going to ask Paul. They're great. They look terrific. And I know that you're trying to get this information to people. And I was just wondering where it was showing up.
Mm-hmm. Facebook and the
Facebook.
Website.
Okay.
And sometimes at the sites themselves.
That's what I was going to say. That would be great. I was up there on Saturday and... not at Chesbro, but at Calero. And there's a big wooden sign about the trails, et cetera, up there. And the trail guys came by and put up a little box. And they put the whatever information they wanted to on that sign. I'm not thinking that, well, we could do something up there, but wherever we can put up that information at the site, that's great.
Yep.
I had one last item, and that was to recognize Amelia for her efforts on the new pipeline format.
So yes,
I
great.
Had in reviewing various newsletters, one thing since I arrived here was a desire to make the pipeline look a little bit more professional, and we've had a few iterations over time of improvement, and the Regional Water Authority had a really nice professional looking newsletter, and I just showed it to Amelia and she just took the ball and ran with it and did a really great job reformatting the newsletter, and it just looks a lot sharper now than it has in the past. So I just want to thank you for your efforts.
I'm glad that you like it. Yep. Thanks.
Yes, it's very nice. As a matter of fact, my neighbor commented on how nice it was.
Really? Mm-hmm. I'm glad people look at it and read it and notice it.
Occasionally.
You know, sometimes you do something and you don't know if anybody even looks
at it.
So
the great vacuum. Yeah, no.
Yeah, so that's nice to know.
That's it.
One last comment in conjunction with the reservoir concept and the signs and everything that's going on out there. And there are new stations up from the Murrieta Trail Stewards. What they've done is they took an interesting concept. They have a little mini stop sign. And these are on the trails now in the back.
Great.
And underneath it, there's a little mini stop sign, and there's a little thing that holds an 8.5 by 11 where you lift it up and you can take out the the flyer.
A little box, yeah.
And that is, you know, hey, you know, it's kind of a neat piece. It says, you know, we're glad you're enjoying the trails. You know, we enjoy them too. And, you know, here's some things you can do to help us. Make a donation, come out and help us whack weeds, blah, 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 whatever. So that concept's interesting going forward. We may have an application or two. When you'll see them up there. You're out there enough. The other part is in the concept of the reservoirs is just the general use. I took friends out there the other day at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and it's amazing how many people are out there compared to when I got here. You would be, you know, you broke your leg out there, it'd be 3 days before somebody found you. I mean, it is now a real focal point for recreation in the community. More and more people are going out there, and that's great. But it brings with it, you know, a new set of challenges and problems about communicating, you know, respect for it and what they really are and all that stuff. So,
one more comment. So I met with the country club management yesterday. So the three senior management, the general manager, the superintendent, and I don't know what the third guy's title was, but so just communicated.
Groundskeeper,
something else. And so just communicated as it related to what various operating procedures we have in place with the country club, what they have in place for themselves, that they're aware of them, of stormwater capture and diversion systems that exist around their ponds, and discussing the outlook for water supply for reclaimed water use coming up in the season. They understood everything very well, and we're very glad to have that meeting.
That it?
That's it.
Okay. Thanks.